At any given time, a whole bunch of people and organizations are hard at work trying to grow the economy. There are a lot of moving parts to that effort. The major players in the Rogue Valley gather later this month for the annual Southern Oregon Business Conference. And this gives us a chance to talk to the conference founder about what he does on a daily basis and how all the pieces of the economic development puzzle fit together. Alex Pawlowski is with Southern Oregon Regional Economic Development, Inc., or SOREDI. He's the Business Development Loan Manager and, again, the founder of the Southern Oregon Business Conference. And our guest once again, Alex, welcome back.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Does anybody get out of high school or college and say, I want to be in economic development? Is this a career goal for a lot of people?
People don't even know the definition of economic development, so certainly not. Yes, that's true.
So what is it then?
Economic development, by standard definition, is business recruitment and expansion. It's typically helping business thrive where they presently are, help them through some difficult periods. The recruitment piece is kind of tying a little bit into what we're doing at the conference, has to do with basically doing a SWOT analysis on your community, determining really what you do have as strengths and what are some of the weaknesses compared to other communities. And then you go on out and market your community, entertain inquiries. That's usually what takes place. Sometimes you'll make some outbound calls to communities and particular businesses, working with site relocators. It's all that type of work.
Organizations like SOREDI are pretty common today, but I mean, economic development efforts are not new. I mean, they've always been booster clubs, commercial clubs, chambers of commerce, things like that. Mm-hmm. But it seems like the whole process has it amplified in the last several decades or so?
You know, it's kind of funny. From my perspective, I came from Eugene. Early 80s, we had a terrible collapse in the timber industry. And Eugene, known for being progressive, I was one of the first to actually start the Lane Metro Partnership, which is the first public-private partnership for economic development in the country. I was very fortunate to be there, and I was a charter board member. But that's really how it started, economic development, where you actually tried to engage the public sector in doing something that's largely been left alone to the private sector. You have to try your best to stimulate an economy when you're in ashes. And so when it's good times, they think we don't need economic development. Good times cycle doesn't last all that long. And then we kind of, you know, are downplayed. And then it's time to come back when the economy goes bad. And we've had the most severe recession in memory, 2008 through 12, whatever. And so we were busy trying to get a lot done with few resources. And now, thanks to Jackson County, we're having additional resources at play in 2015 to try to reengage economic development to the level it needs to be.
So it has been it took a bit of a beating itself during the recessionary years?
We did. And, you know, we're a membership organization, so part of our funding comes from public sector. The remainder comes from private sector. Private sector, when they're in constriction, don't have the funds to be able to invest to do this. But through it all, SOREDI has been around, 27, 28 years now, and we're going strong now.
We've had a couple of conversations lately about inability of the regions outside of the big cities in Oregon, particularly the Portland metro area, to pull themselves out of recession. Mm-hmm. And I know we've also had a chat about Rogue Valley jobs, and it seems like Rogue Valley jobs are finally coming back. It took a while to coming behind the rest of the state's growth, it seems. So, I mean, is this partly a result of efforts by SOREDI and similar operators in the economic development area?
To some extent, you respond to the inquiries that come to you, okay? And so in the high-tech area, which is kind of what our business conference is going to be focusing on, these are companies that don't have a storefront. They don't want to be known. They can be one or two people operating out of a small, nondescript office building, but their client base, which we refer to as traded sector, that's really primarily who we deal with. Companies that sell their goods outside the state, and they are thus importing fresh capital instead of it just changing hands in the same community. So the really positive thing besides this high-tech growth that we're experiencing is manufacturing. Manufacturing on a per capita basis in Medford MSA, which is inclusive of, you know, a broader area, is leading the charge for our economic revitalization, and that's coming from Portland-based economists who are taking note of that, that we're doing that well.
Interesting. Manufacturing of what, though? I mean, of small gadgets, high-tech things?
Some high-tech, a lot of, you know, hard industrial products. People don't have – you can build small components, ship them, they're assembled elsewhere. And so we do have a lot of tech expertise in this particular arena, and it doesn't take a crew of like GM. It doesn't take, you know, 1,500 employees. You can get by with 10 or less. In fact, that's what the states are known for. 25 or less is, I think, comprises up to 75% of all business in the state of Oregon. We're definitely centric on small business.
Alex Pawlowski, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's with SoReady, Southern Oregon Regional Economic Development, Inc., as the Business Development Loan Manager, and he's the founder of the Southern Oregon Business Conference coming up January 29th. Join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 around the region by email jx@jeffnet.org, or check us out on Facebook, and you can see Alex's face smiling back out at you, proudly wearing his University of Oregon sweater, just a couple days short of the Ducks' play of the National Championship football game. Something interesting you said a moment ago, Alex, that you said a lot of these smaller businesses don't want to be known.
It's by their choice. Entrepreneurs are a different breed anyway, but the high-tech folks rarely congregate. There are very few associations where they'll come together. You know, part of my job beyond lending and doing economic development is working with entrepreneurs. And so to find the entrepreneur, let's say for the Angel Conference that we've had for the past 4 years, it's been difficult sometimes to stir them up, to get them to be known and file an application to win an award of $250,000, which is quite a nice carrot to dangle in front of you. But they wish to keep to themselves. They don't feel the need, I guess. They don't really need our resources. They're high level and kind of live in their own culture.
Are they designed to stay small then? Is that part of the reason for the insularity? I mean, are they not going to become creators of large numbers of jobs down the road?
You know, that's the thing that's changed in economic development in this world. You don't have to be a GM anymore. You don't have to have a lot of employees. You can get by just fine. I think people have refashioned their goals, their career goals, and it's okay to be small, to make a decent living. I don't have to be Steve Jobs or Bill Gates. I can get by doing this. I think it's a big cultural shift that's taken place.
That's a tricky one to deal with, though, for economic development people, though, because you're talking about creating jobs in sets of like two and three, perhaps, instead of the 20s, the 50s, the 100s that you'd like to bring in.
Well, I would call that expanding and nurturing and growing your own. That's typically business does have higher goals for the tried and true companies that we're going to see in a business park or have a retail location. But it's a changing of the guard that's been taking place. And small is good for these folks. I have no clue what it's going to look like. I had a conversation with a gentleman that heads up a similar organization like ours up at OSU. And he said that this is the prediction. By the year 2020, you're going to see over one half of all jobs are going to be fulfilled by self-employed people that are contractors or, you know, self-employed folks, instead of having to work for a larger company. And so it's like an independence that's going through people's mindset and through the environment. And that's quite a change. That's not my background, so I can't relate to that. But when you talk to younger folks, that's kind of what they're wanting to do. They want to be self-employed.
We're talking to Alex Pawlowski at SoReady about economic development at the Southern Oregon Business Conference coming up January 29th, 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org on the Jefferson Exchange. So this sounds like a parallel then to what's happened in retail, where you have fewer over time brick and mortar stores, mm-hmm. Because people can do so much of their business online. But then obviously at the other end are businesses that can do their business online. You don't need the big office parks necessarily or big factories or anything, because if you're doing this by, you know, ones, twos and threes, There just aren't real visible signs of a thriving economy, yet it can be there.
And it is there, just as you suggested. The brick and mortar, online, e-commerce. I mean, are you kidding me? It's just the sea change over the last 5 years to see how much business is transacted online. We folks steeped in a tradition think that business has to take place in relationships and face-to-face and sales. We're finding out that sales can take place remotely and in large volumes. The other huge sea change is you're not relying upon your own local community to buy goods from you to come to your location. There's a huge market out there that could buy your goods from New York, and you just ship it to them. And if you're a business, I would think that you wouldn't care where your client's coming from as long as you're making the sales and you can service them effectively.
Which then creates some interesting challenges for you in economic development, because these people could just as easily locate that kind of business in Medford or Monterey or Duluth for that matter. And so, I mean, it seems like it would turn to a, but this is a great place to live sort of aspect you would be able to pitch to people.
And that's it. It's lifestyle. And in the old days in economic development, they were always dismissive of the lifestyle component. I think it was just a year or two ago, we saw a nice report come out nationally that lifestyle was number one. And if you go on out, and I'm so glad you brought that up, because we have a program called the Southern Oregon Edge. And when you go down that, it's balance in your life and as well as the ability to make a living. And the companies that have come here from out of state, largely California, cite it's the lifestyle, it's the recreation, it's a lack of congestion, lack of crime, our taxation rate. The cost of doing business in the state of Oregon is like 35% cheaper than it is just across the border in California. So there's a lot of positives as to why you'd want to live here.
So, how well does the economic development machinery keep up with it? Because you mentioned a couple times now that this is stuff that's a bit new to you too, and mm-hmm. So I just wonder how fast you guys have to change your learning curve to be able to keep up with the different ways in which people want to develop economically as you're trying to achieve economic development.
And that's true. It's not totally reliant upon me. We have other folks that work with us. We have a tremendous cadre of volunteers to assist us. We work every year. We have site relocators flown into our community, usually five at a time. They spend an entire weekend with us, three full days. We've been doing that for, I don't know, 4 years now. And so they give us tremendous feedback as to where we stand. You know, you can't compare yourself to yourself. You have to compare yourself to what's going on with your competitors who are located throughout the country, even though our competition typically relies on Sacramento north, and we will have a little bit of Nevada and a little bit of Utah and Washington. And that's really our territory. That's who we're competing with. The beautiful thing about Southern Oregon is our weather. People are shocked when they come up from they come from Detroit and Miami, New York, the site relocators, and they come here and they say, why isn't it raining? It's always raining in Oregon, isn't it? And we just laugh and we show them what it is. And they are just so smitten with the natural beauty, a great climate, and the people that they talk to, which are not all set up. They are able to get out there and speak. People love their community. People wish to be involved in their community. And it's very, very close to them, and they wish to share. It's not the Tom McCall days. We are opening our arms to business and folks to move here.
When is the conference? It's
It's going to be Thursday, the 29th of this month. Registration's at 1:30. The actual program itself runs from 2 to 5. It's at the Inn at the Commons, the old Red Lion there on Riverside in downtown Medford. It costs $40 for SoReady members, $50 otherwise, and they can register at www.soredi.org.
All right. Best of luck with the conference and best of luck with the ongoing efforts in economic development. It's always a challenge, isn't it?
It is. It is, but it's fun.
Alex Pulowski from SoReady, thanks for joining us.